The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Kuf Yud Chet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'enu nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. Refuah Shelema Sarah bat Rachel. Amen. We begin today's daf on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet, and we begin at the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. And the Mishnah begins. Achat Omeret Met. We're discussing over here now a situation where we have testimony that the husband died, but it's contradictory testimony. So the case is like this. Let's say you have a case where you have two ladies. Achat omeret met. One lady comes along and says that the Baal died. Ve'achat omeret, and the other lady comes along and says, lo met. These are two of his wives. So one wife comes along and says, the husband died. The other wife contradicts and says, no, he didn't die. So the Mishnah says, Zu she'omeret met, the one that said that he died, she has a ne'emanut to matir herself, and therefore tenaseh, should be able to get married, v'titol ketubata, and she can even get payment for a ketubah. Vezu she'omeret lo met, and the wife that contradicted and said lo met, lo tenaseh, well, she cannot get remarried, ולא תטול כתובתה, and she cannot receive כתובה. רש"י, שתי נשים צרות, right, they're co-wives, הבאות ממדינת הים, right, they came back from מדינת הים on a trip, אחת אומרת מת בעלי, וצרתה אומרת לא מת. Good, so the one that says מת has an אמנות, and therefore she can get married and take a כתובה, the one that says לא מת, also they believe it, and therefore she cannot get married, and she cannot obviously take a ketubah. Next case. Achat omeret met, ve'achat omeret neherag. This case over here, they're both saying met, but they're just arguing how he died. One says, he died, meaning he died in bed. And the other says, neherag, was actually killed. Let's say he got killed by a herev or something like that. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hu'il u'machishot zu et zu. Since in this case over here they are contradicting each other, and therefore we have to choshesh that both of them are lying. Hare elu lo yinasu. So in this case over here, both of them are not going to be able to get married. And the Gemara is going to explain this case. Rashi, Hu'il ben machishot. Which means, why did the Bimeir only argue in this case over here, where they're both agreeing that he's dead, just a different way that he died? The Bimeir should argue in the Resha also, where they're actually contradicting each other. So the Gemara will analyze. Mishnah concludes, the Biyuda and the Bishimon Omrim, Hoil Vezu Vezu Modot She'en Kayam Yinasu. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, since both of them are agreeing that he died, they're just arguing on how he died, so therefore they have a ne'emanut, and both of them would be able to get married. And now we go to the next case. Rashi, Ho'il vezu vezu modot, ha'achat modeh ve'achat eno modeh, lo yinasu shetehem, el ha'achat. Exactly, which means it's only because both of them agree. But if one of them says dead, and one of them says he did not die, so then are we only allowed them to marry the one that said he died? But in this case, since they're both saying he died, just different ways, we believe both of them can both get married. Eid Omer met. The Eid Omer lo met. You have one witness that comes along and says that the husband died. And another witness comes along and says what? Lo met. Or another case. Isha Omeret met. You have one lady that comes along and says met. The Isha Omeret lo met. So it says Hare ze lo tenase. In this case over here, she should not get married. Now, we're discussing a case over here where Bet Din never accepted the first testimony, which means Bet Din heard the first witness that said met, but they were never matir her. And before they were matir her, already a second witness came along and said lo met. And therefore, the only logic that we say is when a witness comes along that we believe in is when the Beit Din accepts them. Once the Beit Din accepts them, then they're considered like two witnesses. And therefore, even if one witness comes and contradicts, it doesn't matter. But in this case over here, when he came and testified the first witness, right, there was a second witness that came and testified the opposite. So the first witness was never accepted. That she says, Ho'il ubat shniyah. Since the second witness came, kodim shiyatirua, before they were matirar al pirishona, vafilu shniyazut sarata, even if the second one that came was, let's say, the co-wife, or sarata. Okay, the Gemara is going to explain exactly these cases, exactly what's following. So that's the last case of the Mishnah, where you have one says that he died, and one says no, but you didn't accept the first witness yet. So therefore it's considered contradictory testimony, and therefore nobody is believed. Comes the Gemara and says, now we start to analyze the cases of the Mishnah, one by one. The first case of the Mishnah was, one witness said, one of the wives says mit, one of the wives says lo mit. So we said, the one that said mit, she's able to get married, and the one that said lo mit, obviously cannot get married. So the Gemara mentioned the yuk. Tama de amat lo mit. The only reason why she can't get married is because she contradicted the first testimony. She said, lo met. Therefore, she cannot get married. Because according to that testimony, the husband is still alive. Ha ishtika, implying if she kept quiet and she didn't say anything, tenase, she'd be able to get married. What do you mean? We learned on yesterday's daf, ha in sara mi'ida lahavirta. We learned that what? That a co-wife cannot testify for her colleague, which means if you're going to let now this lady that kept quiet get married, on whose testimony? It's on the other lady's testimony. And we learned that what? That you're not allowed to accept a testimony on one wife to matir another wife, because since they hate each other, so could be she's intending to hurt the her co-wife. So therefore, the diuk does not make sense. So comes the Gemara and says, no. Really, even if the second wife would keep quiet, she also would not be able to get married. So don't make the diyuk. So what's the chidush of the Mishnah? Lo mit itztiricha le. The chidush is when she says lo mit. It's chidush in that case. Why is it a chidush? Because salka datach amina, because I could have argued like this, I would have thought, ha mayit. I would say, really, probably the husband died. Which means, really, I would say the husband died, because why would the lady come along, the second lady, and say, lo mit? She should have just kept quiet, and she would have let the tzara, the other co-wife, the other wife, would marry Be'isur. And if the husband was really alive, she just would have kept quiet. The other lady would have got married Be'isur, and then if he would resurface, she would become Asur Leba'ala. Also, I would really come along and say that what? I would have that would have said what? Really, ha mayit. The ha de kamra lomit. So why did she say lomit? Lekelkula letzara hi de chamichavna. Which means she wants to mekalkel atzara. Which means when she's saying lomet, she doesn't want that tzara to get married. Okay, now even though by saying lomet, she's also being osir herself, now she also cannot get remarried, she's going with a sevara of tamut nafshi in pilishtim kamra. She says, like Shimshon said, I'll die, but so long as I take down the Pinishtim with me, I'm willing to die myself. So I would have thought that really could be that the husband really is dead. And when that she's saying lo meh, she's just trying to ruin her co-wife, not to allow her to get married. And she's ruining herself as well, because that she cannot get married as well. But she'd rather die with the Pinishtim, so to speak. I mean, she'd rather hurt her co-wife, and even to spite herself, but so long as she's hurting the co-wife. So I would have thought that what? That when she says lo meh, could be really the husband is alive, and therefore we would really allow them to get married. Kamash ma'alan, that even in such a case, she's asura dinase. However, when she kept quiet, pashut, she's asura, which means, the hadush is pashut, if she kept quiet, pashut, she's asura. Because she's based on the other lady's testimony. The hadush is, even when she says lo met, I don't interpret it as really met. And the only reason why she's saying lo met, because she wants to spite her co-wife, kamashwala, no, when she says lo met, she's believed, and therefore she would not be able to remarry. Comes the Gemara, continues from a quote from our Mishnah. We had a case where one wife says he died, meaning he died in bed, and the other wife comes along and says he died by a harif, by a sword. So we said in that case over there, the Bimeir says, since they are contradicting each other, so therefore they are not allowed to marry, both of them. So the Gemara says, v'liflo gonna be Bimeir beresha. Why didn't the Bimeir argue in the first case? Which means, when one lady says met, and the other lady says lo met, since they're contradicting each other, why didn't he argue in that case? Amar bil azab bimachloket shinuya. So he says, you're right. The Bimeir argues on the first case as well. V'rabi Yehuda v'rabi Shimon hi. Which means, and that which we learned, that the Mishnah's deen is tenaseh, meaning the first lady that says met can't get married. That's going like the rabbis, the Yehuda and the Bishimon, that said at the end of the Mishnah that since in the case where, let's say, both of them are agreeing, one said met and one said neherag, so in that case the Yehuda and the Bishimon said that both of them can get married. So they also say that what? That the second testimony cannot undo the first testimony. And therefore, just like when the first witness says met, so the second one is called as lo met. So according to the Yehuda and Bishimon, the second one is not believed, because we accept the first witness as two witnesses, and therefore the resha is going according to the Yehuda and the Bishimon. And in Echanami, the Bimeir argues on the resha as well. Rabbi Yohanan Amar Afil Utema Rabbi Meir. So no, could be Rabbi Meir is even maskeen to the resha. Beha Afil Rabbi Meir Modeh. Which means when the first lady comes and the wife says met, and the second co-wife comes along and says lo met, that testimony is not accepted because she's a co-wife, and therefore we don't accept the testimony of a co-wife. And therefore, since we accepted the first witness, the first lady has two witnesses, I don't care about the second witness. Therefore, the Bimeir will agree that what? The first lady can get married. However, in the Sefa, where one is coming along and saying met, and one is along and saying that neherag, in this case, since they're both saying that he died, but they're just saying it in different ways, so in that case, the Bimi is going to say that she is not going to be believed. And the Mishnah says, Tenan, we have a Mishnah. Well, let's just explain why. Why would the deen be that way? So the Mefashim explain over here in the Sefa, where both are saying that he died, and both of them are trying to be matir themselves, and they're contradicting the way he died. So the Tosafot explains over here that we're concerned that maybe they're not being medayik, maybe they're saying it bededameh, because they're excited, they want to get married, both saying he's dead, this one's saying he died this way, this one's saying he died that way, so it could be they're over anxious, and therefore they're really not sure of their testimony, and therefore they're not going to be believed. So we have two ways to learn who the Resha of the Mishnah is. Either the Resha is the Be'udah and the Bishimon, or it's even going like the Bimi'id. So the Gemara says, Tenan, we have a statement at the end of our Mishnah. Eid Omer Met. V'ayed Omer Lo Met. Right? One says Met, one says Lo Met. Isha Omeret Met. V'isha Omeret Lo Met. Harezu Lo Tenaseh. Which means we do not accept the testimonies. Right, and we learned the case talking about where they didn't accept the first witness. I mean, Binti was not matira yet on the one witness, and the second witness showed up. So therefore, there's a contradictory in the witnesses over here. So therefore, we do not believe them. Now, when it says one lady comes along and says met, and one lady comes along and says lo met, it's mashma, even one wife says met, and the co-wife says lo met. And what's the deen? The deen is harezu lo tenaseh. So we want to know who is the author of that statement. So it says, Bishlama Rabbi Al-Azhar. According to Rabbi Al-Azhar, that says, Rabbi Meir argued in the Resha, Stamak Rabbi Meir. So I can say that case is Rabbi Meir. One wife says Met, the other one says Lo Met. We don't accept them. And therefore, we have an understanding who that case is going like. However, Ela Rabbi Yohanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that says that everybody is more there, that the Sarah is not there a minute, and the first wife can get remarried. Kasha, who is this Tana in the Sefa? Which means it's not to be mitzvah anybody. Nobody agreed in this case. And therefore the Gemara says, Kasha, the Gemara leaves it in a question. Which means if you say to be mitzvah, argues, good, because he's the rabbi of the Sefa. In the case where one lady comes along and says met, and the other lady, what can even say is the co-wife says lo met, so therefore we'll, both of them cannot get married. However, according to the Shita that says that even the Bimi is more than that case, so then who is it going like? So the Gemara leaves that in a kasha. Continues. Ha'isha shehalcha, hi uba'ala l'medinat tayam. Okay, so we have a case of a lady. Her and her husband went to Medinat Tayam. Uba va'amra. She comes back and she says, "Met Bali." Okay, she comes back and testifies that her husband died. Tenaseh. Obviously, she can get remarried. V'titol ketubata, and she can also take her ketubah. However, v'tzarata asura, which means her co-wife cannot get married based on that testimony. Which means the belief is only for herself, but is not matir di tzara. Now, once she's not believed, legabe di tzara, so the Gemara says, Haita bat Yisrael, let's say the tzara was a bat Yisrael that was married to the Kohen, tochal betruma, she could still eat teruma, which means she doesn't have to worry about the co-wife's testimony that the husband died. Because normally a bat Yisrael, after the husband dies, she cannot eat teruma anymore. So the hadush is that we believe her even the kula, not only the humrah, not only that we don't accept a testimony, meaning that the tzara can get remarried, but also we consider legabe the tzara that if she's a bat Yisrael, she can eat teruma, which means we don't accept the testimony at all. Devre Rabbi Tarfon, that's the Bitarfon Chita, Rabbi Akiva Omer, En Zu Derech Motziata Mide Avera, which means this is not the Derech that you're going to save this lady from Avera. Ad Chete Asura Linase Vasura Medecho Betruma. The only way you're going to save this lady from Avera is to be Ma'mir on both sides. We're not going to let her get married to Tzara, but we also have to be Hoshesh that maybe he did die, therefore we're not going to allow her to eat Truma as well. Comes again when Mishnah gives another case. Amra met Bali. Oh, let's say she comes along and says, met Bali, my husband died, v'aharkach met Hammi. And then she comes along and says that her father-in-law died as well. So the Gemara says, Tenaseh v'titol ketubata. Well, first of all, on her testimony that says her husband died, she'd be able to get married and also take her ketubah. However, v'hamota asura. But as we learned on yesterday's daf, a daughter-in-law is not allowed to testify to matir her mother-in-law because we said there's hatred and animosity between them. Now, hayta bat Yisrael lekohen tocha betruma. Same thing, if the mother-in-law was a bat Yisrael that was married to a kohen, so the deen is going to be she even allowed to eat teruma because we don't accept the testimony of the kala whatsoever. So therefore, just like she's able to Just like we don't trust it that she would be able to get remarried, so we also say that what? She can still eat teruma. Rabbi Akiva Omer, that this is not the derech that you're going to save this lady from sin. Rabbi Akiva is mahmir again. He says you have to be mahmir on both sides, which means you don't accept the testimony in the sense that what, we're not going to let her get married. However, we are going to forbid her from eating teruma. Comes the Gemara and says utzricha. We need both cases, which means the first case was where the lady testified that what met Bala, so she cannot have a testimony about her co-wife. And the second case is where the Kala testified that she cannot have a testimony for her mother-in-law. So what do you need both cases? So the Gemara says, Veslicha, di'i itmara kamaita, if you gave the case of the Sara. So beha ka'amar Rabbi Tarfon. In this case over here, Rabbi Tarfon is going to say what? You don't have to suspect to the testimony at all for the Sara. Mishum de tsa'ara de gufa, which means Legabed Sara, we have to assume that this lady is lying because it's physical pain to her. She wants to ruin the tzara because they live together and she wants to spoil the co-wife. And therefore, in that case over there, Legabed Sara, there's no emanut at all. And therefore, she can still even eat teruma. However, Aval Hamota, but a case where the Kala testifies for her mother-in-law, the Tsara Mile de Alma, which means although there's animosity, that's only an animosity because I should speak it out clearer. The sin'ah that the co-wives have is physical because she refrains the other wife from having tashmish. Because they can't have to share the husband. So that's a physical tsar she causes. So therefore there's no ne'emanut for the tsara at all. That means she cannot get married, but she can also eat teruma. Because we don't accept the testimony at all, because she's lying, the gabed tsara. Because we say that, since she's causing her to lose out on tashmish, so therefore she's, mamash hates her. Therefore, I can say the Bitarfon said it in that case. But in the case of the hamota, why does the kala hate the hamota? Because the mother-in-law tattletales on her, goes to the husband and tells the husband things about her. Therefore, it's only verbal pain. So I would have thought, what? That the hatred is not that great. Ema module Rabbi Akiva. Maybe he's modet Rabbi Akiva in the sense that what? That maybe we have to be mahmir. That maybe this animosity is not so great. Maybe she is telling the truth. And therefore, she's going to be forbidden to eat teruma. So that's why we have to say that case. Now, if you gave the case of the Kala, Rabbi Akiva. Maybe Rabbi Akiva is only mahmir in that case where the animosity is not so strong. That's why she's forbidden to eat teruma, because maybe she's telling the truth. But in the case of the Edut of the Tzara, maybe he's modeled to be Tarfon, that we don't believe her conclusively that she'd be able to eat teruma. Therefore, Tzirika has to say that case as well. So the Resha is a Hadush for Rabbi Tarfon, and the Sefa is the Hadush for Rabbi Akiba. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shemuel, halakha k'Rabbi Tarfon. Halakha falls Rabbi Tarfon that what? We do not believe the testimony at all that she can still eat teruma. Amar Abaye af anana mitanina, which means we have a stam mishnah that follows the shita of Rabbi Tarfon. Why? Because we had the case in the mishnah where we had a situation of a lady that went with, let's say, a husband to Medinat Hayam, and when they left, they did not have any children, and all of a sudden she comes back and says, "Nitan li ben bi Medinat Hayam." I had a son in Medinat Hayam. However, met Beni, she says, my son died. Ve'aharkach ba'li. Now, according to that testimony, she's permissible to make yibum. Because her son died first, and then the husband died. So when the husband died, she was childless. Therefore, she's being matir herself, really, for yibum. Now, when she left, she also didn't have children. So technically, when she left, her hazakah was, she is subject to yibum. And in the case of husband would have died, and therefore her testimony now is according to the hazakah that she had. She had a hazakah that she was permissible to yibum, and she is still permissible for yibum. So she's believed. Mishnah says ne'emenet. However, ba'ali v'aharkach beni, But let's say she says that her husband died first, then her son, and therefore she's saying she does not make Yibum, and therefore she's going against her original Hazakah, because when she left without children, the Hazakah was she does fault Yibum. Now she's giving a testimony that what? She's not subject to Yibum because she's saying that what? Her husband died first, then her child. She's not believed to take her out of this Hazakah. And therefore she would be forbidden, the Mishnah's deen is, she's forbidden to marry to the Shuk. She's actually going to need a Halitza. And that's why it says, V'choshishim d'dvarei, you have to suspect her to what she's saying. And therefore, V'choletze v'lo mityabemet. Which means in this case over here, since she's going against the Hazakah, so we're not going to let her make a Yibum. However, because she is testifying that she is not subject to Yibum, but she still needs to make a Halitza. That's the Din. Choshishim d'vareh v'choletze v'lo mityabemet. So the Gemara now makes a diyuk, because it says, Choshishim d'dvareha. Right? For her words. So it said, Lidvarea hu dechoshishim. Which means you only suspect for her words what she's saying about herself. However, ha lidvare sara in choshishim shma'mina. But legabe the co-wife, which means for her you have to be choshishim. But for the co-wife you're not choshish at all. Which means you don't have to be concerned at all. And therefore she would not even have to make a halitza. So you see what? Like the bitterfun. That legabe the co-wife, there is no ne'emanut bichlal. And therefore you see that the halakha follows the bitterfun, that when the lady comes and testifies for herself, she has a certain ne'emanut. But for the tzara, zero ne'emanut at all. And therefore the tzara can continue to even eat teruma. Again, and the diyuk is from the words, V'choshishim d'dvareha, which means for her words she has a certain emanut, and therefore she would need, let's say, she has to make a halitza, which means we're going to be machmir legabe her, because only because she went against the hazakah. However, legabe the co-wife, there's no emanut bichlal, and therefore we see shma'mina like Rabbi Tarfon. Comes the Mishnah on the Amud Bet. Kiddush achat mechamesh nashim. Okay, you have a case. A guy married one of five wives. Ve'enu yodea eze kiddush. But he doesn't know which one he gave the kiddushin to. Kol echat omeret oti kiddush. Each lady comes along and says, I'm the one. Noten get lechol achat ve'achat. So he has to give a get to each one. Okay, so now he gave five getin, but what do you do with the ketubah? So it says, Umaniyah ketubah b'neinu mistalek. He puts the ketubah in the middle, and he walks away. Which means, he doesn't have to pay each one a ketubah, he just puts the ketubah in the middle, and they fight it out. The vina bitarfon. Rabbi Akiva omer, Rabbi Akiva says, Enzo derech motzim b'di avira. This is not the derech that you're going to save her from sin. Save the man from sin. Achi yitin get uchtubah lechol achat ve'achat. He says, you have to give each one a get, and you have to give each one a ketubah. Gazal echad mechamisha. Let's say he stole from one of five people. Ve'enu yodeya me'eze gazal. But he doesn't know from which guy he stole from. Kol echad omer oti gazal. Each guy comes along and says, what do you mean? You stole from me. So what does the Tarfon say? Meniach gezelah b'neim mistadek. You just put the gezelah between them and you can walk out. Let them fight it out between themselves. However, the Rebbe Tarfon, Rebbe Akiva omer, Rebbe Akiva says, since the guy knows that he did gezel, so therefore the rabbis penalized him, and he says, "Enzo derech motzi b'di'avara." This is not going to save him from sin. Achi shalem lechol echad ve'al. He has to pay back all five people. Comes the Gemara and says, "Kiddush ketani," which is the case in the Mishnah talking about where he made a kiddushin with one of five ladies. He doesn't know which one. So the Gemara's b'di'ekid ba'al lo ketani, which means it's talking about, let's say, where he gave, let's say, kesef kiddushin or shtar kiddushin for kiddushin, where there's no isur. A person is allowed to get married with kesef. However, we're not talking about a case we made bi'ah, because really the hakamim forbade a person to make a kiddushin with bi'ah. Like the Gemara kiddushin says that they would flog somebody that would make a kiddushin with bi'ah. So it could be that if a person would make kiddushin with bi'ah, since already he did an isur, Rabbi Tarfon would be modeh that he has to give a ketubah to all five. Which is Rabbi Tarfon saying you only have to give a ketubah to one of them because he made a kiddushin beheter. He did a kesef for shtar, but if he did a bi'ah, could be Rabbi Tarfon going to be modeh. Gazal ketani, and as well in the sefa, so that way he stole. However, lakach lo ketani, which means we're talking about over here where he actually stole, but it wasn't a business transaction. Which means the only reason that Rabbi Akiva says you have to pay all five back is only because he stole. But if it was lakav, if it was a business transaction, and he forgot which one he owes the money to, so then already even Rabbi Akiva will be more. Then they don't have to pay all five. It's only because he did a gezer isur, they're going to make him pay. So that's the yukim of the Gemara that they say. If the Rishas is talking about kesef or shtar, that's why the bitafon is lenient. And the sefer is talking about gezel, and that's why the Akiva is mahmir. Gemara says, "Mane matnitin." Who's the author of our Mishnah? Lo tanakama velo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. V'tanya, we have a bright Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omed lo nechdeku Rabbi Tafon Rabbi Akiva al shekidesh achat mechamesh nashim ve'enu yodaya eze kidesh shemeniach ketuvah b'neimu mistalek. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says that the machloket is not in that case where they were made kiddushin on one of five ladies. Everybody agrees in that case. Even Rabbi Akiva just put the ketubah in the middle and walk away. Aman nechdeku al shebaal. The machloket is by bi'ah, which means that bitarfon amar, even in that case where the guy made a bi'ah, which was really not the proper thing because he's benitzut, he shouldn't have done it. Still, he says maniach ketubah b'neim mustadek, and Rabbi Akiva says no. Ad shishlenu kol achat v'achat. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is learning the case of the Mishnah is actually ba'al. So the Gemara says further, lo nechleku Rabbi Tafon Rabbi Akiva and the sefa ad shelakach mekach mechamisha b'nei adam v'enu yodem me'ezevim lakach, which means the sefa is not talking about a case where, let's say, there was a transaction, which means he took some product from somebody who doesn't know which one he owes the money to. That case, there is no machloket. Everybody's going to agree, even the bi'akiva, they just put the money in the middle and walk away. The machloket is talking about where he stole from five people. She'amar bitarfon. In that case, even the bitarfon says, he just puts the gizla in the middle and walks away from the bi'akiva. So that's the way Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar learns the Mishnah. The Shah is talking about Ba'al, and the Sefa is talking about Gazal. So the Gemara makes it to you because it's the brighter. But the Kamar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar bekidesh velakach velo pedige, which means from the fact that Rabbi Shimon says that there is no argument in the case of kidesh with kesef and shtar or lakach where it was a transaction, there is no argument to be the front of Yakiva. Mechlal the Tanakama must be the Tanakama of that brighter that's arguing Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar savar pedige. That he must say that what they're arguing, even if it was Mekadesh Be'eter, and even if, let's say, it was a transaction, that what? That they're going to have a machloket. Also comes the Gemara and says, Mani. So who is the author of our Mishnah? Itanakama. If you're saying that the Mishnah is going like Tanakama, Litni Kidesh Velakach. So the Mishnah should have gave us the bigger Kiddush. That what? The case of Kiddush Velakach, because if you take the Mahlokah is even in the case of Kiddush Velakach, she should give me that case. Why did the Mishnah give the case of Gezel? The Eid of Bishram and Lazar, it's a case going to Bishram and Lazar, Litni Ba'al Vegazal. So according to Bishram and Lazar, it shouldn't give the case where the Mahlokah is in Ba'al, like Hashita. So therefore we have a question. Who is the Mishnah going like? So the Gemara says, Le'olam, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. We have to tell the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Umay Kiddush. What does the Kiddush mean in the Mishnah? Kiddush Bibi'ah. Good. And therefore we have a machloket even by Kiddush Bibi'ah. So the Gemara says, Tana Kiddush. So why did it give you the case over here of Kiddush Bibi'ah? Le'odiyaka kohod Rabbi Akiva. To tell me that how strict Rabbi Akiva is that falgav the isurat rabbanan. Even though he only made isurat rabbanan, because to make kiddushin bibi'ah is only isurat rabbanan, still what? Kanis. He's kones, the guy, and therefore he has to give a ketubah to each one. So to teach you how strict Rabbi Akiva is. Tana Gazal, the reason why it said the case of Gazal, Leodiacha kohod Rabbi Tafon, to tell you how lenient Rabbi Tafon is. That falgav the even though he didn't issue the right to buy stealing, lo kanis, Rabbi Tafon just says, put the money in the center and walk away. So therefore the Mishnah is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. The case is machloket is bi'ah and gazal. The hiddush in bi'ah is that even though it's issued the banana, Rabbi Akiva is mahmir, and he has to put the money, he has to pay back everybody. And the hiddush in the sefa is talking about gazal, and even though it's issued the right he did, according to Rabbi Tafon, it just has to pay back one, put the money in the middle and walk away. Comes the next Mishnah, Isha Shehalka hi uba'la l'midinat tayyam ubena'im mahim. Good. So you have a lady, she went with her husband l'midinat tayyam, and her son was with them, which means when she left the Medinat Hayam, she was bechizkat petura miyibum, because she had a son. Ubat ve'amra met badi ve'achar kach met beni. Then she comes along and says, "What? That my husband died, and then my son died." And therefore, she's testifying whether she's still petura from yibum ve'emeret, because she has a ne'emanut. And she's really, her testimony is consistent with her hazakah. I mean, she left behizkat no yibum, and her testimony is still saying that what? She has no yibum. And therefore, she remains in her hazakah. Which means, she came along and said, in this case over here again, she came along and said, met ba'ali, v'har kach met beni. Right, so therefore she's believed when she says met Bali, and then already she says met Bini, but just since her husband died first, so she has an emanut agabe the husband, and then she has an emanut agabe the son, but since the son died second, she does not fall to Yibum. Now the Mishnah continues. Met Bini, Valkach met Bali. Oh, she said the opposite. She left to Medinat Hayam, she was behaskat no Yibum. But now she comes along and says, "Met Bini, the son died first, and then the husband." Now she's really not with the Yibum, so she's changing her hazakah. Ena ne'emenet. She's not ne'emenet to matir herself in order to make Yibum. However, hosheshim the dareya. We have to suspect to what she's saying, and therefore she'd be asura to the shuk without a halitza. So the deen is, because bottom line we have a rule of shaviyana of shahatichad esura. She made herself isur. She herself is saying that she's subject to yibum. She can't just let her go to the shuk. So the deen is choletzet velo mitabim. It's like a halitza and no yibum. Comes the Mishnah and continues. Let's say she left the Medinat Tayyam. She didn't have any children. So then when she was b'chizkat, yibum. Potential. So what does she come back and say? Nitan li ben b'medinat Tayyam. I got a son in Medinat Tayyam. Ve'amra, then she said, mit beni, right? He died first. Ve'harkach mit bali, and then the husband died. So therefore, in that case, over in a minute, because she's still behaskat yibum, she left behaskat yibum, and she still has behaskat yibum because she's saying what the son died first. However, mit bali ve'harkach mit beni, she says the husband died first, then the son. So she's really changing the hazakah. She's saying that she's not subject to yibum. So therefore, ena ne'emenet. However, v'choshishim l'dvareh, still since she was osed herself, she says that she's subject to yibum. The din is v'choletzed ve'lo mityabemet. Now we go to the next case. Now, let's say when they went to Medinat Tayyam, they were not certain, or it wasn't known yet, that her husband has a brother. So therefore, she was behazkat no yibum, because she only have a case of yibum potentially if the husband has a paternal brother. At this point, you didn't know if he had a paternal brother. So therefore, she left the Medinat Hayam behazkat no yibum. Now, what did she come back and say? Nitan li yavam b'medinat Hayam, which means she says, was born to my mother-in-law a son, which means was born the yavam. The yavam was born in Medinat Hayam. Or she says, Amra met Ba'ali. She says that what? That my husband died. Ve'harkach met Yevami. And then the Yavam died. Or she says, Yevami. That the Yavam died. Ve'harkach Ba'ali. And then the husband. Which means, she basically, according to her testimony, she stole Pitura from Yibum. I mean, she left Pitura from Yibum, because there was no hazakah that there was Yavam in the world. And now that she's coming along and saying there is a Yavam in the world, but he died, so therefore she's still also portending herself from Hazakat Yibum. Ne'emir it. So there's no problem, she can still get married. However, halchayu ba'ala vibama le'medinat Hayam. Oh, but let's say when she went with Medinat Hayam to her husband, the Yavam was around, therefore she was zikukafi Yibum. Now, Amra met Bali Varka Kibami. She comes along and now testifies that what? Her husband died, then the Yavam died. Or she says the opposite. Yavami Varka Bali. Either way, she's trying to protect herself from Yibum. Right? She wants to matir herself to the shuk. She's going against the hazakah that she had when she left. Ena ne'emenet. She not believed why. She ena isha ne'emenet lomar met Yibami. She tenase. Which means, we do not believe the lady when she says met yibami. They only gave her a ne'emanut when she says met bali, to go get married. However, when it comes to the yavam, she had a hazakah that she was subject to yibum. Now she comes and says met yibami, she's not believed. Why? Because we're concerned that maybe she hates him, and therefore we're not going to believe her in a case where she potentially hates the yavam, where you had a hazakah that she would fall to yibum. Similar case. Velo meta achota, which means a lady is not believed to say that her sister died, shetekanes lebeto, which means, which normally a fellow is not allowed to marry two sisters, but they is sort of marrying two sisters only when they're alive. So now you have one lady come along and say, I'm testifying my sister died. And what is she trying to do by that? She's trying to now be allowed to marry her husband. So the Mishnah says lo meta achota. We do not believe at the same meta achota that she can marry now her husband, because the Torah only believed the gaber edut isha by her own husband met bala. Why? Because they wanted to be allowed to remarry. Over here, the gaber, this case over here, go marry somebody else. We're not going to let her give a testimony in this case of achot isha, and therefore there is no ne'emanut. Furthermore, a man is not believed to say that his brother died, and therefore allowing this fellow not to make yibum to his wife. Velo meta ishto, and we do not believe him to say as well meta ishto that his wife died, shisa achota, which would now allow him to marry his wife. A person is not believed to say that his own wife died, and therefore he wants to be mutar to marry his wife's sister, because he's not allowed to marry his wife's sister, obviously. So he's not believed to say that his wife died or to marry the sister. Because again, the Torah only gave a ne'emanut, or the rabbis only gave a ne'emanut legabe met ba'ala, because they don't want it to remain in aguna. But in this case, he won't remain in aguna. Go marry somebody else. And therefore, there is no ne'emanut. Comes the Gemara and says, ba'amine rabam rav nachman, ha'mezake get le'ishto. Okay, now, we know that a person gives a get to his wife. Now, let's say a person doesn't want to give the get directly to his wife. He wants to give it to a shaliach, meaning his own shaliach. Now, of course, if a person wants to give the get to the lady shaliach, of course that's 100% good get. The lady appoints the shaliach to receive the get. But we're talking about a case of, let's say a man gives a get to a third party and says, I want you to be mizakeh this get for my wife. Now normally we have a rule, zachin le'adam shelo befanav, that a person is able to mizakeh somebody even not in front of him. And therefore the question is, when a person gives the get to a third party and says, I want you to be koneh this get for my wife, is that considered a zechut? Is that considered a zechut? Well, it's really not. It's really a hov. And therefore, the deen is in havin le'adam shelo befanav, which means the only way you'd be able to give the get is either to the lady herself or to her shaliach. But to be mizakeh through a third party, since it's a chov, because since it's detrimental to, you cannot do something detrimental to somebody shelo befanav, not in front of them. Which means, for example, if a person wants to be mizakeh somebody money, so of course I can take money and go to the third party and say to the third party, I want you to pick up this money with kavanah to be mizakeh for so and so. That's a zechut, zechin adam shelo befanav. But a get, you can't do it. So now the Gemara has a question. Let's say a person gives a get to a third party and tells the guy to be mizakeh's get for his wife. Bimkom yavam. Oh, the case is talking about where they were married and have no children. And therefore, if he's going to die, she's going to be zikuka for yibum. Now, what is this get going to do? The get is going to free her from yibum. Mau. Which means, do we say that such a get that's going to free her from yibum is considered a zikut? Why? Kevan de sanyale. Because, do we say that since we can assume that she hates the Yavam, Zechutuna, so it's a Zechutna, she's off the hook, she's not going to have to fall to Yibum. V'zachin Adam Shalom Fanav. Or Dilma Kevan de Zimin de Rahamada, or do we say sometimes that she does like him, so therefore, Chovuna, so the get now is not going to allow her to fulfill Yibum. V'en Havim Adam Shalom Fanav. So that's the question of the Gemara. In a case where there's a Yavam, is it considered what? A Zechut for or not? So the Gemara says, Amar le Tanina. So he says, it's a Bifurush Mishnah. What do we learn in our Mishnah that we just read? Which means, we have a case of a lady, for example, that she was b'chazkat pitura from Yibum. Right? Before she went to Medinat Hayam, she had a chazakah, for example, she had a child, let's say, or let's say there was no Yavam in the world. So she was pitura from Yibum, and now she's coming to testify that what? She is ri'uya for Yibum. Or you had the other case over there, she was b'chazkat hayivet b'yibum. We had the case of Mishnah. What's that case, hayivet b'yibum? When she left Medinat Hayam without any children, and now she wants to testify what? That she is pitura. In either case, the deen is what? Hosheshin, you have to suspect to what she said. She has to make a haditha and not a yibum. We don't say that we don't suspect our words at all. We don't say when she went against the hazakah that it's nothing, that she doesn't even need a haditha. And for example, when she testifies that she says that she's pitura from yibum, right? She left Medinat Hayam with children. Without children, she was hayevet. Now she's coming along and say that she's pitura. We're not going to say that she's 100% lying because she hates the guy. She hates the Yavam, and therefore she doesn't want to make a Yibum at all. Or the opposite. Or she's coming along to say that she's Hayav. We're not going to say that what? That Vaidai she's being Meshaker because she loves him. Which means the Gemara's, the Mishnah's is Tzafik. We don't know what she's saying. Therefore we have to make a Haditha Misafik. Maybe she's telling the truth, maybe she's not. So therefore there's no conclusive Sivarat to say that Vadai she's lying because she hates the Yavam, or Vadai she's lying because she loves the Yavam. That is indeed a Safik. And therefore it's a Safik if she likes him or not. And therefore you have to say this get over here is going to be Safik Migudeshit. Because you don't know. Which means it's not conclusive. From the fact that the deen in the Mishnah we just read is that you have to give a haritza misafik. You don't say vaday she's lying that she wants to make ibum, or vaday she's lying that she doesn't want, she likes him or doesn't like him. It's a safik. So in this case over here, when you give a get to a third party to mizakin, in the case where there's yibum, you have to say it's safik migureshet. And therefore in this case over here, let's say he gave a get, you have to say sefik megudesh, sefik ena megudesh. Now let's say he dies, so on the side that there was a get, fine, so there's no yibum and no halitza. But on the side there wasn't a get, she has to make a halitza. So that would be the deen in the case of being mezakeh, a get through a third party, you would need a halitza in the event that he died because sefik gerushin. Amar Ravina. Let's say they were fighting, right? The husband and wife are fighting, and now what? He gives a get to a third party. So what do I say? Since they're fighting, so it's a zechut for her. It's a privilege. She wants to get rid of this guy. So therefore, it's a zechut if we can give the get to a third party for her. Which means, even though she's fighting, she still rather have companionship, and therefore it's a chov. Therefore, you cannot do it. Tashema, damarish takish tav lemetav tandu. Which means a lady would rather the companionship, which means tandu, to sit with two bodies, which means to be with her husband, lemetav amelu, than to be an almana. Which means she'd rather just be with anybody. Tandu, she'd rather be with two people, which is her husband, no matter who he is, as opposed to being alone. So you see in Sivana that even if she's fighting, still she's happy just to be married. She enjoys the companionship. Abaye Amar, Abaye says something similar. Dishum Shimana Gabra, which means even if you have a lady that her husband is short like an ant, meaning he's a midget. Kurse Beharata Ramuda. She sits amongst the Hashuvot, which means when she goes to the marketplace, she sits amongst the Hashuvot, means she's proud. She's married at least. She don't care if even the husband's a midget, like an ant, but bottom line, she's proud to be married, and definitely you see she enjoys the companionship with anybody. Rapapa Amar, the Nafsa Gabra. Even if, let's say, a lady's married to a man that combs wool, which is a very low, inferior job. She's not embarrassed to call her husband by the threshold of the door and to sit in with him on the porch, let's say, in front of everybody. Which means she loves to be married. Even if the guy has an inferior job, she's not embarrassed to sit on the porch, let's say, to call him in public, that everybody should know that she's married to him. Because again, she enjoys the companionship. But Rav Asher is a similar case. Which means, even a lady that the husband, let's say, has a kulsa. Kulsa means he has a shemitz pasul, which means it could be he has a certain psul. He's not 100%, the lineage is not so good. And what? She doesn't ask him for anything. Except, lo ba'ya talpa. She doesn't even ask for talpa l'kidra, for lentils, for the pot. Which means, the main thing is, she wants to get married to him. She don't give the guy's pasul. She doesn't even want to ask him for anything. She won't even ask him for lentils for the pot. She doesn't want to ask him for anything. Just what? The companionship. So you see, according to this, that what? Even if a lady's fighting, you have to assume that what? It is considered a chov, because she still wants to enjoy the companionship. Tana, but the Gemara concludes, v'chulan, all these ladies over here that we're saying that they married these type of people, which means the guy's an inferior, the guy has a shemitz pasul, all these people, mezanot. It's probably that they committed znut, vetolot bebaalehen, which means since they're committing znut, they want to cover up their znut, and therefore they get married to anybody in order that the people will think that the child is from their husband. Therefore, they're willing to get married to anybody in order that the children will go after the husband. That's why they're willing to marry such low level. Hadrana ala ha'isha shalom. Baruch adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.